Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'm the host on The Message. And I have to say, I welcome you and delighted that you are here and delighted that I am on the other side and we can chat to one another. I wanted to continue with the story of the cherubim and the messengers of the Elohim that I had started the last time we chatted. And the reason that I want to do this is because this is an ongoing story. It concerns you perhaps very closely. And where I'm getting this information, dear friends, is you might be aware that I work with the Akashic Records. There is a part of me that goes to the center of the cosmos where I connect with the cherubim and they pull the record and open it and we get the information from those records. It is the story of your soul from the moment of its creation until the present moment. So some of this information is coming from readings that people have requested from me, and some of the information comes from the Masters and from Archangel Michael when we do the conference calls. The conference calls are something so remarkable. I hope you'll go to my website at carolynevers.com and click on the button at the top right which says conference calls and see if your soul prompts you to be there. The information that is coming forth from these two sources, to my point of view, is so remarkable. And I'm finding that the reason that souls are requesting this information, they're being prompted by their higher mind, and it is because we are coming to the end of a cycle, and the cherubim and the messengers of the Elohim have a decision to make. They have to decide whether they're going to stay here and continue to incarnate on the planet, or they're going to ascend, perhaps go with Archangel Michael to the Golden Galaxy that he is preparing, or for the cherubim to go back home. To go back home and be in the presence of Source again, the creator of all. All there is, if that rings a chord, if that has an emotional impact, call and see if perhaps when your soul was originated, you were come into being as a cherubim. The messengers of the Elohim have come from many different planets in the galaxy. And I'll touch on this briefly. There was a planning board, and several components came together. First of all, souls can advance to the point where they can manifest. Yes, we do that when we make a plan and decide we're going to do something. We do it on a very limited basis. But a soul can graduate to the point where they can take the energy of the cosmos and literally bring forth a flower, something living. They did this in Atlantis. They knew how to take the energy from the crystals. The priest took the energy from the crystals and turned it over to individual souls, and they created with this. And so when the concept came to build, to create, to manifest the planet Earth, this particular solar system, it was, of course, using God's plan, the source of all, using the blueprint, but it was that soul that we know of, whether you call him Yeshua, Jesus, Sananda. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit later about his soul origins. But that being worked with the Elohim, worked with Archangel Michael, who brought the string of sacred geometry, and all of his light workers were there holding the place. The Elohim brought in the four corners, and there was a magnificent, gigantic explosion of heat. And when the reds and the oranges and the whites, the beautiful white light, cleared away, there was the planetary system, and there was Earth. There was also Marduk. And we went into a little bit of this story the last time, how the cherubim came to hold together that implosion that the dark forces were responsible for. We see the remains of Marduk in the asteroid belt. And so the cherubim, the messengers of the Elohim, were very much involved with that. Now, at this point, the messengers of the Elohim are being given the opportunity, being called back to their respective planets, because during that planning session, when the Council of Twelve planned with the Elohim and with Jesus, Sananda, they had resources that they could use. In other words, there were certain gifts, certain abilities that were needed here in this incredibly new and wonderful experiment. And so the different individuals representing the different galaxies was a support team. They sent their most brilliant and best from their planetary system here to fulfill certain jobs, so to speak. And they were the messengers of the Elohim. So they came from other planets, and they came here to Earth. They came with the cherubim. And there was this magnificent plan that was all put into place. We talked about those who were responsible for setting up the destruction of Marduk. This was this group from off-planet, really, who were responsible for this. And so the cherubim had been a constant, in constant battle with the dark forces, holding, and that was their mission. Two extremely large contingents, what you could call two legions of cherubims, were sent here to hold back the dark forces. They incarnated. Now, the reason that they don't remember this is, if you can imagine this, as cherubim, they had incredibly large soul structures, incredibly vast abilities. And as they came down through the dimensions, they had to compress themselves in a denseness of matter that was much more compacted than what it was when they were with Source. And so what happened is, they are coming down through the dimensions, their abilities are being shorn from them. They couldn't bring all that they were. They were left at other dimensions. And so finally, getting here, like any other soul, they have forgotten their heritage. Now, there was another group of cherubim who stayed up closer to the high astral plane. And the reason that they did that is because they had a better overview, they had a better picture, and they were able to remember more. They had and held onto more of their soul abilities, and so they held the space, they helped direct. They were sort of like the messengers from whom. And as lifetime after lifetime, the cherubim carried this struggle with the dark forces on this planet. You probably know that at the beginning of every golden age, and the cherubim, working along with the messengers of the Elohim, were responsible for bringing into place the different golden ages. And as the dark forces would come and take over or try to take over these new understandings, these new abilities from the golden ages, you might say it had to go and be hidden again. And in those battles, as you know, the Dark One and those who carried the light in bodily form were, you might say, vanquished. Those warriors were physically destroyed by those who carried the darkness, and they suffered. You know, in every battle, the victor who is supreme vanquishes the other side. And I remember many times myself being a warrior, protecting those on earth who had no defenses. There weren't police departments. There weren't structures of society that would protect the weak, the infirm, those who didn't know how to battle, those who didn't know how to struggle, couldn't even afford armor. And so there was this group, and the cherubim were part of it. And they battled the dark forces, and in their losses, they carried the pain, the brutalization of their torture and their death. And if that wasn't cleared, then the next time they incarnated, because this was stuck energy in the etheric body. And this is another thing that the cherubim and the messengers of the Elohim must clear from their etheric body, any stuck energy that is there from the past incarnations. And so this is an incredible story, my friends, and it is incredible, and it hasn't been, revealed up to this point, is because we are at the ending of the cycle. And many of the cherubim in the past did not know they were cherubim, the same way that the messengers of the Elohim did not know they were messengers of the Elohim. After a period of time, they might have developed to the point where they could read their own Akashic records, and some of them did. But, and they even left records knowing what was about to happen now. And if you know how to read the signs that were left behind in stone, they are there in the Gothic cathedrals. The Gothic cathedrals were built by those cherubim who understood and who knew what would be happening now. They were very responsible. They were the Templars. And if you're interested in their story, you can go to my website, go through carolynevers.com and click on the Akashic reading, and there's a lot of information about the different layers of records where they are kept, and there is also information about the Gothic cathedrals. We will be adding more of this because it is a pathway that was used. In the past, we've done some stories on that, and we'll do some more. My friends, give me a call. This is a toll-free number. If you're here in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Let me know if you had an emotional connection. You felt something when we talked about Mardak, when we talked about what was planned there and that implosion, what was lost, and the souls filtering down to this planetary system here on Earth, beginning anew, not really by themselves. The dark forces were still there. Tell me how you felt, how you might feel when you hear those words, going back home. How does it feel when you hear that, going back home? Do you look up at the stars? Do you look at the seven sisters, the Pleiades? And do you find that it holds an allure for you? How do you feel when you think about angels coming down to this planet? How did you feel? Did it cause an emotional reaction? I would like to say that if it did, give me a call. Let me know what it felt like. We'll go to the records and we'll see if we can find out something about your soul history, your soul timeline. Is your higher mind prompting you to look into this? Are there choices to be made? Is there trauma from the past that needs to be cleared from your etheric body? Are you connected to your higher mind? Are you starting to remember? Give us a call here, 877-876-5227. Let us talk a little bit about connecting to the higher mind. It is the gateway to the soul monad that holds all of the experience that you ever obtained after you left Source. And there are threads of light from that monad that go up and up until they reach Source. And you can tap into this. People meditate. They meditate, but they don't always hear their soul speaking to them. So, what happens? Well, this information has been given to a lot of people in readings when they ask for readings. There are many records that what we glean from it is that, yes, people do meditate. They try. Sometimes they become discouraged. They use guided meditation, but they're not connecting to their higher mind. I have told this story before, how the first time I had connected to my higher mind, I was in Fatima listening to a mass in French, and I couldn't see the altar, couldn't see anything. The only seat I could get was behind the pillar, but I heard these remarkable voices, these male voices that were singing the hymns, and it was so full of devotion. The love was so intense that I picked it up, and it became a part of me. And it became such a part of me that I sat there and I cried, and the tears just came forth, and I was so full of love. And I started asking questions. And it is when I connected to my higher mind. And I remember that everything was open to me. And I wasn't prepared because I wasn't expecting it. I didn't have my list of questions. I remembered asking some things and I got some answers, but I had quickly forgotten. And so what comes forth out of the readings is a method as to how to do this. And it all revolves around the emotion of love. You might say, oh, I know what love is. Of course you know what love is. We all know what love is. We've seen movies. We've read books. We might even have some extraordinary relationships. We know what love is. But when you meditate and you want to reach the higher mind, you must feel this, not know it intellectually, but to feel it. And you have to feel it long enough. You have to hold this in your energy field long enough until you get the attention of your higher mind. Let's explain a little how you might carry that emotion of love. I gave you an example of how I carried the emotion of love. I carried it because I heard this incredibly beautiful, hauntingly loving hymns that were sung to Mother Mary, to God, to the saints. And I didn't understand a word of the French when they were singing it. I simply felt. I felt their love. I felt their emotion. You might not have been fortunate enough to have that experience, but you do feel this emotion. You might feel it in the face of a child, this little baby, when they innocently giggle over something extraordinarily interesting in life. It could be that they are just contemplating the taste of an ice cream cone, but they giggle, they bubble over, and this enthusiasm and this love just bubbles out of them, and that might affect you. You might feel that love when you see that and hear that, or you might be in the midst of some incredibly beautiful scenes of nature. If you've been to some of our national parks, Yellowstone, for instance, or maybe a park in your neighborhood where you see the beauty that God has created, the mountains, the animals, the fields, the flowers, the sun shining down on your body. Do you feel sometimes that love energy? You feel it. This is what we're talking about. Have you been to some concert where you've heard this incredibly beautiful music or a voice of a singer that strikes you in a certain way and you feel something? This is what we are needing to carry in our meditation. And when you feel this, you go into meditation, you carry it into your higher mind. This is how you get the attention. So, folks, give me a call. Let me know that you're out there listening. This is a toll-free call, 877-876-5227. Let me know your feelings. Let me know if you connect it to your higher mind. Let me know if you remember being a cherubim or a messenger of the Elohim. Now let's get back again to that moment when you carry this love emotion to your higher mind. Well, how do you do that? You simply think about a space over top of your head. It doesn't have to be precise. It is just your intention to connect. And you feel this love and you send it forth, intending that it go to your higher mind. It is the intention that is important. Nothing's wrong. Whatever you do is right, because It is what comes from the soul, from your heart. You just intend. And you sit there and you send this intention, this feeling of love, with the intention to connect. Now, it's very hard at this point to explain what happens. You just know there is a connection. Something changed. It is as if you threw out a lifeline and somebody grabbed it. And it's the sense of someone listening. And it's hard to describe this, but once you reach it, you know the sense of what I'm saying. And when you feel this connection, you then send your request. Your request could be, what is my mission? What am I supposed to be doing right now? What guidance do I need? Am I following the middle road, what you sent me here to do? Or am I reaching out to the higher road? Or have I not even connected with my mission? Am I down here on the low road? That might be a question. And when you send this question, again, it is the same sense. I cannot explain it, but you know it was received. It is like somebody turned a switch, and you sent, and they received. And then what happens? Well, a lot depends on you, how your soul is constructed, how you work within your connection with your soul. If you're clairaudient, as I am, your soul will answer in words. Do we have a caller there?
Yes.
I wasn't sure. Your name, please.
Becky.
Did you say Jackie?
Becky. As in Rebecca. Becky.
Oh, Becky. Thank you, Becky.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you, Becky?
Well, I just felt like calling. I've listened to the program and thought about doing it for a long time, and it didn't seem like anyone else was calling, so I got the little nudge over here. For
so you're having a little pity on the host, huh?
Well, not pity, really. It's like, okay, this is your opening. Go for it.
So when I said these things, Becky, did you feel something?
Yes, I always do. I actually tuned in a little later. I've had some guests this weekend, and they had just left and just flicked on to get some work done, and I always listen to BBS in the background and your show. And so I missed most of it, but I always do feel resonate with these things that you talk about. And
so, Becky, if you felt something, what words made you feel, did you get this feeling about meditating, about the cherubim, about the messenger of the
looking at the sky, the stars, feeling
stars.
At peace, angels, just anything spiritual, it feels like. That's our home.
Yeah.
And it just feels comfortable, and that's what I love to think about.
So, Becky, what's your question, dear? You want to know if you came from the stars?
No, no, that.
What?
Let me see. My question might be, how about my big purpose here?
Oh, what's your purpose here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you kind of know you're from the stars, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I feel that connection.
Well, so, I'll tell you something, Becky. Mm-hmm. So many of the people here on Earth really are from the stars.
I feel that way, too.
Yeah. People think, oh, ETs, extraterrestrials. Well,
mm-hmm.
They just don't know that they're one.
So I'm thinking, let me close this door. I've got my computer on. It's a little louder. Anyway, yes, I think that many of us are here and are light workers or whatever we want to call ourselves, but really don't know, you know, what we need to do except...
Well, Becky, have you listened to this show before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so you're familiar with how this works. Well, I will do is I will send a portion of my mind to the center of the cosmos and ask the cherubim to pull out your record, which they're already, of course, standing there with your record.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a very big record.
Yeah.
Apparently, you've done a lot of traveling around.
Like a slow learner, maybe?
Oh, no. Not that you're a slow learner. Not at all. It's that you have a lot of experiences that you have worked your way through, and so your record is very large.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good.
No, you're not a slow learner. I would say you're ahead of the curve.
Oh, good.
Okay, Becky, let me see. Your question, again, was what is your mission?
My purpose. Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I got the right question.
That's
here.
It.
Okay, let's see what it says. As soon as the record was opened, Becky, there was a tremendous amount of white light. Matter of fact, the light was so bright and is so bright, I have to wait a second until some of this incredibly large amount of brilliance moves aside so I can actually get to the words.
Hmm.
And what the cherubim are saying, and they're telling me this, and it's sort of like a shortcut because when we're on the radio, we don't have a lot of time to,
mm-hmm.
to get to this information, but they say that you have been one of the dependable ones. When there was a job that needed to be done, they called upon your soul. You were dependable, reliable, and so many times you were on what we would call the cutting edge of new experiences.
Hmm.
And so you carried a joy in this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're from the stars, like so many of the other souls who are on this planetary system right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are showing me what looks like a gigantic wave. And there you are on the crest of the wave. And what the wave is representing, Becky, is the new changes that's coming to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We people here talk about ascension. They talk about the light workers, and these are phrases that a lot of people use. But what is truly going to occur here is a gigantic spiritual revolution on this planet. And you came... in this incarnation, well, actually, what they're saying is you worked. Your mission has been very similar through all of the different lifetimes that you have been through. They're showing me some pictures of your past lifetimes where you worked with Isis. I see you in the temple at Dendera in Egypt. And not only had you worked with Isis, but you also worked with the Hathors. And you worked with helping to bring in the birthing. You worked with the birthing process for mothers who were about to give birth to bring through the birth canal infants that were very aware, so that they wouldn't have to go through some of the birthing traumas that new infants might go through, and you were a comfort there also for the mothers about to give birth. They're taking me now, they're showing me other pictures where you were in the temples in Egypt where you were a high initiate. And also...
High what?
A high initiate. In other words...
Oh, okay.
You know what I said.
Right, right.
And worked the same in Greece through other cultures. You were always there at the beginning of the wave. In other words, this history of this planet has been a continual time where the vibrations went down, where there was darkness, and then the vibrations would come back up, where there would be this great light.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were always on the crest of that wave, bringing light back to the planet. And that is what you are doing now. Not what you are going to do, Becky. They are telling me that you are doing this now. You have always done it. In the past, you worked more one-on-one with an individual. And you worked individually. That had been your past. But now, this is not the case. You are working with the planetary system, and they're showing me how you are helping to stabilize the energies that are going down into the core of Earth. There's many energies right now. Some are destructive and some are constructive. The destructive ones, of course, is what is coming from HAARP. HAARP is sending destructive energies to the core of the Earth, and you are working with others to help alleviate and correct some of that. You are also working with the energies as they come from the center of the cosmos. They come through the sun, which we call the sunspot activity, and they eventually work their way through the human DNA, and it goes down into the core of the Earth, and you are working to help stabilize that also. You and others who have worked with you, who are working with you, are helping to stabilize the planet during this great time of transition. And we have had some very great Earth changes that have occurred. We're talking about those, you know, the storms, the monsoons that have occurred in,
right, all over.
Yeah,
the
I
weather.
Can't think of the name right now, the yeah. recent one, and,
right.
You know, the floods, there has been so many, in Chile, the volcano that
mm-hmm.
has erupted.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great change in the planet. And they're showing me what happens with the vibrations in the planet when this happens. When an Earth change occurs and it comes to the surface, there is the vibration of that down to the core of the Earth is very unstable. It swings from side to side, and it needs people like you and others who work with you to help stabilize that.
Mm-hmm.
So you are one who works with vibration. You do not work with the same in the same vibratory manner that the cherubim work with, but you are a master along those lines. And they are showing me that you are one of the messengers of the Elohim who have worked very closely with the cherubim. There are some cherubim in the upper realms right now that work with you. You are connecting to their energy, to their vibratory pattern. And you might say to yourself, Becky, well, gee, when do I do this? I don't remember doing this. You're doing this during sleep time?
Oh, yes.
Matter of fact, they are showing me that you are extremely busy during sleep time.
Yes. Yep.
Do you ever feel that?
Oh, yes. In fact, I every night I listen to different tapes and meditations and pretty much all night. And to BBS radio sometimes.
Well, what they're showing me is as soon as you put your head on the pillow
and
you kind of nod off to sleep, your soul right away is leaves and does this work.
I've had that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You're out of your body like a dart. Now, I want to tell you something about that, Becky.
Mm-hmm.
You have angels that are given to you to protect the physical while you were out working in the etheric.
Right.
And what the cherubim are suggesting that, number one, call them in more.
Okay.
When you go to sleep,
okay.
To watch over the physical and thank them for the work that they do.
Okay.
That, and they are showing me that you have several angels that do this work for you, protecting the physical, and it was promised to you that when you came into this lifetime, that those from your planet would provide this protection. So that was something else that they wanted you to know,
mm-hmm.
that you are protected, that those from your home planet are, you might say, keeping up their end of the bargain. They sent you here, they gave you some guarantees, and Becky, do you ever try and connect with them?
Not as often as, for some reason, I'm more inclined to take in information and sort of feed myself spiritually. I'm more inclined to do that, and I'm trying lately to sit more and listen, but I've never found that particularly easy to do. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense because you're walking a path that you know is an important path. But they are suggesting that you can connect to the people from your home planet, that when you meditate, that do you sometimes, when you meditate, feel this great love energy?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah. Yes.
They are connecting with you through this love energy.
Okay.
And they are suggesting that when you feel that, trace that love energy and see where it goes. Do you know what I'm saying by that?
Sort of. That mostly, as far as the love energy goes, I ask to feel more loving and to increase my love, my heart energy.
There is a string of energy that is a vibration that comes from your home planet to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel that love energy, make the intention that you will follow that until you will start seeing colors. Have you ever seen colors during meditation?
No.
Well,
so follow that and look for the colors.
Yeah, make the intention to follow that string,
okay.
And you will see colors.
Okay.
And they are showing me it is a combination of a very dark blue with pink mixed in it,
mm-hmm.
and what you would see would be something that would look like a cobalt blue.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the cobalt blue, there would be a great amount of white light.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a honing device to them. Do you know what I mean by that?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's sort of like a signal that is sent out. And when you follow that string and you see the colors, you feel the love.
Did you say homing a device?
Yeah,
holding.
Like a homing device.
Homing. Oh, okay. I thought you said holding.
No. And so this is
this
is the connection between you and them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good tip. Good, it's something to look for instead of being so scattered.
Well, you're not as scattered as you think. Your soul really knows what you're here to do, and you're doing it.
Okay.
The fact that you are doing this during sleep time, your ego, this, and what I mean by ego is, mm-hmm. is simply the name that you've given yourself, you know, while
right.
you're here. Becky doesn't always understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're working in the dark, so to speak. But if you...
Set upon. <I'm
sorry. laughs> If when you make this connection, you follow that and you see these colors, you'll have a better understanding because you might be able to communicate with them directly.
Right.
It would give you, would ground you a little bit more to understand and feel that you are here doing what you're supposed to be doing. See, you're really doing this. It's just that the person, Becky, is not sure of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, Becky.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. This is wonderful. I've been wanting to do this for a while.
So. Well, I'm so glad that you did.
Well,
now,
blessings to you.
Blessings to you, and tune in. Next Saturday is the show, The Messenger, will be on 2 hours with Dr. Richard Presser. If you have time to listen to that, tune in. I think you will enjoy that show, too.
Well, I enjoy them all, and I'll definitely write that on my little list here.
Yes.
Well, Carolyn, thanks so much for taking our
calls.
My pleasure,
Becky.
And for all that you do for all of us.
And me too.
And you too.
Yeah, you know, we're not in a vacuum. You only help yourself by helping others, and I think you know that.
Yes, I certainly do. Every day in my job, that's what I do.
What's your job, Becky?
I'm an inner city school teacher.
Oh my, that's
yes.
a hard job. Being
yes,
a school teacher is not easy today.
Huh?
I said, being a school teacher is not easy today.
No, anywhere. This is particularly challenging in certain ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's So I feel pretty good about that, but it is stressful, and I think that's one reason I do a lot of listening to, you know, and calming down and feeding my spirit through like programs like your show. And,
well, it's very
and
wise. Good talking to you, Becky.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
We'll hear from you next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, we have almost 10 minutes, enough time to get somebody else in real fast if this conversation has somehow stirred something within your heart. Our toll-free number here is 877-876-5227. Something that I want to mention. When you think about all of the work that has to be done here on this planet, you know, we see a lot of things around us that really need attention. And it's easy sometimes to think, oh, that problem is too big for me to tackle, because some of the problems today are so complicated, so involved. And there is a way that we can really work to solve these problems. When we send light or bring light down, well, I'm going to grab this phone call real quick because we don't have much time, and we'll talk about this next week. Your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing great. And you?
Well, you know, you try to do it better each time, but sometimes it doesn't go that way.
There you go.
You know, you keep working at it.
Yes.
So what influenced you to call, Nancy?
Well, you know, I know I'm doing something at night. I just don't know what it is.
Well, You know you're doing something, but none of the ironing is getting done, huh?
There you go.
So, your question, Nancy, what do you want to know? What you're doing at night?
Yes. And who
so
I'm doing it with.
So, you put your head down on a pillow, and you wake up, and you're full of perspiration, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know you're not going to be surprised at anything you hear since you're a cherubim.
Right.
Let's see what they say. We're going to make this one quick because we're going to have to get off the air soon. Let me see. Well, they're showing me that same support team. You see, there's a lot of cherubim in the high astral plane, and they are holding the space for us. It is, we couldn't do this alone. And so you might say they're the support team. And so they're starting with that, that you're working under the guidance of the support team. And your work is not quite the same as it was with the previous caller, though you know that you would be very involved with vibration because of your soul heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're showing me is water. And you see, these great surges of energy come through the sun. The energy comes through in bursts. This is not just ordinary sunspot activity right now. A lot of the energy that is coming forth in the form of sunspot activity is actually energy that is coming from the center of the cosmos. This is coming from source, and there is a great deal of it. Matter of fact, you probably feel tired laboring under it sometimes because the physical has to get accustomed to these new bursts of energy that is coming through. Well, as it comes through, this blast would be difficult for people on Earth to handle if it all came forth at one time. And so it comes through the sun, and it is taken to large bodies of water, not the ocean, but they're showing me the lakes, the large lakes. And so cherubim are helping to take that energy as it comes from the sun and puts it in like a holding pattern, so to speak, in the lakes. It's like handling the overflow so that this energy comes in on a more balanced, stable manner.
Uh-huh.
And as amounts of this energy is being implemented or, I guess integrated is the best way to use it, then the more energy is brought forth from the different holding lakes and put into the grid system. And this energy is accentuating the light that human beings are helping to bring down to the planet. So as a cherubim, you're working with vibration, but each cherubim seems to have their own little niche that they're working with. And yes, you're working with the energy. You're helping it to flow on a balanced manner. And the reason that you can do this, because of the fact that you have worked with source's energies, you are able to work with this energy as it comes through the sun. And what they are showing me is that you have to be a cherubim to be able to do this. So, yes, my darling, you're very busy at night. And there are some times when you're busier than other times, and that's when the Earth is being hit the hardest with the sunspot activity, and also some of the different gateways that the energy, other energies are coming through. So I can tell you there's times when you're going to feel very fatigued.
Makes a lot of sense.
Are there times when you feel very fatigued?
Oh, yeah. More so than normal, yes.
Well, all I can say to you, Nancy, is you're working with some hot circuits, honey.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're doing great work. Keep it up.
Thank you. You too. You're doing great. I appreciate it.
Okay, my darling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, my friends, can you believe we're at the end of the hour already? I don't know. Well, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. If you enjoyed what you heard today, do consider ordering a reading for a personal individual reading, which can go into much more detail, and consider joining the conference calls. So until next Saturday, when we do the Messenger show, and Sunday when we do the message, I'm here for you, keeping the home fires warm. Until then, this is Carolyn Evers. Talk to you soon.